Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to Team Friendship special episode number 3. Today we'll be talking about Anne with an E, episode 3, titled What is So Headstrong as Youth? I'm joined, as always, by my fellow podcasters, Lauren.
Hello.
And Mandalay.
What up, friends?
And today we have an extra special treat. Our friend Zoe is with us.
Hello.
She waved everybody.
It was an important part of it.
So Zoe probably has a dream job for a lot of our listeners. She works at the library. She is a library aide. She says she does a little bit of everything. You get to help people find books and try to lead them to better books.
That's what we're talking about. I try.
And then you help run kids programs, adults programs. We're going to get to participate in one of your library's programs.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I'm excited.
A fun painting activity.
I've never done one of those, so it's going to be bad.
No, it will be. But it'll be very good.
Yes. So I thought it'd be fun to tell our listeners a little bit about your book taste, since that's usually what draws people to our podcast, is a love of books. So can you tell us a little bit about your first favorite book that you listed? That was very interesting to me.
My favorite book is Howl's Moving Castle by Diana Wynne Jones. And it's just quick synopsis about this sort of out of place, feels alone in the world girl who doesn't really fit in with her family and her kind of magical world that she lives in. She doesn't feel very special until she gets cursed by an evil witch and she's turned into this 90-year-old woman. And then that's when her adventure begins. So that is my favorite book. It's pretty fun.
I trust your book suggestions because I'm pretty sure you're the one that told me about the Flavia DeLuce series.
Yes, another favorite series. It is fantastic. Must read.
Yes, definitely, for sure. You also have a little bit of experience, I've heard, with like filmmaking, costume design. Do you want to tell us anything about that?
My undergrad degree is cinema and video production, so I did get to work on a lot of different film projects in school. I learned a bit about studying film and what goes into the behind the scenes of filmmaking. And I did get to work on a film for 2 summers and 2 school years at school as well, a feature film production. So that was fun.
That is awesome, and that helps us, because we don't have that kind of experience, so I feel like you bring that.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. So what was your first introduction to Anne of Green Gables?
I don't really remember, not knowing Anne of Green Gables. It's just, I've always known Anne of Green Gables. I think perhaps the first thing I can really remember is going to our small town library, which was at that time in a little house, and I remember renting all the many VHS tapes and dragging them home.
That is awesome. Yes. We are really excited to talk about Anne with an E. What are some of your overall thoughts, Zoe, on this series? We've all kind of given ours in the past episodes, but just tell us.
I was really skeptical at first, not knowing exactly what the show is about and kind of hearing different rumors about being darker or just different, not traditional to what I grew up with. But I really, really enjoyed it. I'm glad I gave it a chance. I learned to love all the characters and the new ideas that the writers have brought to the show.
Awesome. Zoe, you were talking about with me last time we tried this about just, you know a lot about Ella Montgomery and kind of her background, I guess, and it. Anyway, what do you have to say about it? Just I'll let you tell the people instead of trying to tell them. So you can tell them.
Well, LM, or Lucy Maud, as I like to call her, mm-hmm. had a really interesting life growing up. She was born November of 1874. She died in 1942 in April. And she had it was very interesting. She had a really similar life to the Anne character that she wrote, where it was very lonely childhood. She wasn't really close to her family. Her father had remarried after her mom had died very young, and she just talked about being very lonely in her head, and that she would just loved the island, Prince Edward Island, and she would go back there. And even like the education she had was kind of, it was rather new to her time period that women would be educated as highly as she was. And just going from being a school teacher and returning to the island as she got older and just taking long walks and feeling transcendental with her commune with nature, just like Anne. So it's very interesting. She was kind of a lonely person. It sounded like she had a lot of imagination. And I think the show really shows that mm-hmm. to what Lucy Maud herself was.
Awesome. Thank you for bringing that insight.
You're welcome.
So there's another Anne of Green Gables movies being made with Martin Sheen as Matthew, and I'd kind of seen some of this, but then you brought it up again.
Yeah.
And did you watch it? You watched
it? I did.
It?
Okay. I know there's going to be, at least the last thing I read, it's from YTV. Yeah, and Martin Sheen is Matthew. A girl called Ella Ballantyne is Anne, and Marilla's played by Sarah Botts Ford. And I think it was going to be divided into 3 TV movies.
Okay.
But I only watched the first, and I think that's probably where I'll stop.
Okay. You weren't impressed.
I wasn't impressed. Anne was not a true redhead. That's probably the biggest thing. Not a true redhead. Fake freckles. You could see in close-ups. It was very much like eyeliner dotted all over her face. And it was just a poor adaptation. The characters just didn't seem true to what the original Lucy Maud Montgomery version would have wanted them to be.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad that I could get your opinion.
Yeah.
steer clear of it, I guess. I don't know. But hey, if you're out there and you've seen it and you love it, write us and tell us why. Well, guys, let's get into this episode, episode 3. So this episode was directed by Sandra Goldbacher. And Sandra grew up in England. Her father was Jewish. And she got her start in directing by directing several commercials. So she was kind of a commercial director. And if you look her up, you'll recognize some of the major companies that she's done commercials for. Most of them are beverage companies. So, So let's see. Leah, what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
I really loved this episode. I was very skeptical at first because this was the controversy.
Yes.
But when I watched it, it made me laugh that was the controversy because the people that were judging it kind of went along with the people judging Anne in the actual episode. And I just really like how they portrayed Anne's adjustment into society and then Marilla and Matthew's adjustment into parenthood, and I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Mandy, what were your overall thoughts, if you can remember?
What happened in this episode again?
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of that.
So that's Mandy's overall thoughts.
And next.
I know what episode it is.
It was good.
Good.
Perfect.
And Zoe, what are your thoughts on this episode in particular?
Well, I think I said this to you before. I kind of laughed when you told me I was going to be helping. Because I love and hate this episode because there's so many awkward things that happen. Yes. But so many good things, too. So it's a fun episode, but also not as fun.
Yes, I agree. This episode wasn't easy for me to watch, especially the first time. Like, when it's like your second or third or fourth viewing of it, you know what's coming, and you're not as nervous for her. But I definitely felt uncomfortable both for Anne and Marilla because they're both entering into new territory. And I don't know, I guess I can relate to that feeling of wanting so badly to be liked and for people to like me. And I'm not really good at judging other people's, I guess, thoughts or whatever, and so I'm always second guessing, like, should I have said that, or do they like me, or they didn't say very much to me today. Did I do something to upset them? You know, things like that. So I definitely, I guess I could relate to it, and that's why it made me uncomfortable, because I've been in those situations before. But yeah, but other than that, I do like this episode. It was very enjoyable and funny. So let's talk about Anne's first impressions at school. And in this scene, we're introduced to her classmates. And so we're introduced to Josie Pye and Ruby Gillis and Tilly and Jane Andrews. And we get to see some familiar faces again, too. But I just wanted to mention some of the actors who play some of these kids. And because they're kids, like, there's not really a lot of info on them. A lot of them, this is their first gig, or it might, you know, they might not have done very much before, but I'll just give you their names, and if you're interested, you can look them up. So Josie Pye is played by Miranda McKeon, and she's actually appeared in an off-Broadway musical, Little Miss Sunshine. So that's her. Ruby Gillis is played by Kyla Matthews. Tilly is played by Glenna Walters, and Jane Andrews is played by Leah Pappas Kemp. Yes, spelled differently than your name, Leah. So, as we are introduced to these young women and even some of the boys at school, Zoe, what were your first impressions of them?
A group of girls always scares me. I felt for Anne having to enter this world of really tight group of girls. Yeah. But I thought they were all really well acted, at least the bits we got. Some of them, we didn't get very much time to see how they acted. So I'm hoping they come in more and we get to know their characters better. Like, some other characters have been fleshed out more than in other adaptations. So,
yeah.
But I thought it was a little bit, it was very intimidating. You definitely got that whole kind of chilled, terrified feeling that Anne must have been feeling as she entered their girldom of...
Yes.
Of rules and expectations that she has no clue what the rules are.
Yes. Yeah, I love her line where she, says to
Diana,
you know, I feel like I said something wrong back there. I don't know what it was. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Mandy, what do you think of the girls at school?
I don't like them.
No.
But I like how Anne, I just love everything Anne does. Yes. She just goes in, even when she doesn't know, she just goes in, just does it.
Yeah. What about you, Leah?
First of all, her hat.
Yes. I forgot about
that. That was amazing.
The whole time, I'm just like, oh, Anne, oh. I thought, oh, cute, a little flower, that'll be nice. And then she comes
overboard.
In. And I'm like, why, Anne? No.
And Diana's like, oh. Let's take that off and put it over here.
I feel like Diana is the friend all of us need.
Yes.
She's so supportive of Anne, even though Anne is just stumbling over herself right and left. But I like that the kids are all a little bit more age appropriate this time around. I really enjoy that. But yeah, I just felt for her as she was being so verbose in her introductions, and they're all like, Anne knows some big words.
Yes. She likes to read.
And then Tilly, I like to read too.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
I love that banter. I thought it was a lot of
wit, and I enjoyed it.
Yes.
It was good. So that's Anne's new territory. Let's talk about Marilla's new territory with
Marilla.
The Progressive Mother's Sewing Circle. And I'll just let everyone think about the initials for that.
So awkward.
So this is where we meet Mrs. Andrews. So she is mother to Jane and Billy and Prissy, which we'll get to in a few minutes. And we meet Billy in that last scene that we talked about before. And I just want to punch that guy in the face. But I don't.
Good work.
Anyway, so we meet Mrs. Andrews, and Mrs. Andrews is played by Janet Porter. I wasn't really familiar with anything she's been in. She provides a voice in a Canadian animated series. I don't know if it's for children or adults. You never know what these things.
Know.
It's called The Bagel and Becky Show. So if you're from Canada, let us know. So, Zoe, what are your thoughts on the Progressive Mothers Sewing Circle situation.
I liked that there was, I noticed that there was like a symmetry in the storyline of what Marilla was going through. And again, this whole new women's world that she was not familiar with and parenthood and trying to know the rules and expectations of these new group of buddies and what Anne was going through at school. So I thought it was really interesting and a really well-placed situation that the writers put in there, because you could feel it on both sides then, like both women were going through something in this episode that was really similar, but yeah, but different at the same time for their ages and what they were going through.
Yes. I just want to say that this sewing circle would kind of be the thing that I would have gotten behind if I lived back then. I just love how this show points out, though, the flawed nature in all of us. Just even with the best intentions, we can forget about the importance of showing kindness and compassion toward others. So I'm all about progressive thinking, but I think that I need to remember the whole picture, and I think these ladies needed to remember the whole picture. I think they were kind of one-track-minded. And even that comment that they made to, like, Marilla about, like, education is good for a woman, even, you know, especially if she's not going to get married, you know. And, like, you can just tell that they, like, aimed that right at her, and, like, it was just such a dig, and, like, I don't know, and it didn't have to be. Like, that's not something that has to be a dig, I don't know, but whatever. Yeah. So, but, and just, like, kind of along with that, just I think we need to learn how to have conversations with other people who may not have the same opinions and beliefs that we have, and learn how to do that in an amicable way, just so, I mean, just because someone disagrees with you, like, in your mind, they might be wrong, but you don't have to treat them in a mean way or things like that. So, Mandy, what are your thoughts on the sewing circle?
I don't like the sewing circle.
All right.
They're mean and rude.
Yes.
And I would not have joined the sewing circle.
All right. Mandy's not going to be part of your club.
Start my own club.
All right, Leah, tell us your thoughts.
I think that it seemed awfully brave and out of Marilla's comfort zone to even go to the circle, but she has this newfound responsibility for Anne, and she realizes that she could have a future and that she needs the education, Anne does, and Marilla didn't get that. So I thought it was really interesting that they put her in that situation, and then obviously kind of what you guys said, they were progressive, but only up to a point.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, that kind of goes through the ages. You can only progress so much at a time.
This is true.
Then you realize that you're not as forward-thinking as you thought.
So, after Marilla gets home, who's there, you know, right away to talk about this sewing circle and her opinion of it is Rachel Lynn.
I love her.
Yeah. So, Leah, why don't you talk more about that scene?
I've said it before, and I'll probably keep saying it, but I love how they're portraying Rachel Lynn in this, I don't know, undertaking that they've had. I appreciate that their friendship seems more real and genuine, and I love Rachel's just pointed look at all I can think of is the progressive mother sewing circle. All I can think of is the first few initials.
Yes.
but I like that scene and how she said, you know, did you have time to, what did she say? Like, burn your bras in front of the...
Burn your corsets.
That's right.
They march naked in the streets or something.
No, we ran out of time.
Yes. And she's just like... You know, I can't even believe that you aren't taking me seriously right now.
I noticed, because I watched it again for this second recording of episode 3, and Marilla said there's a difference between having an opinion and passing judgment. Mm. And I just love the back and forth there, that she could say that to her in love. And in the end, she said, I'll be back to... what did she say? To share my opinions the next time you go.
What are your thoughts, Zoe?
Pretty much what Leah said. I like that it feels like a more genuine friendship. The Megan Follows version that I think most of us are really familiar with it felt almost more like a frenemy kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Just a little less, like, more like Marilla was always enduring Rachel, because, like, Marilla was cool and Rachel just was there and she had to endure her because she lived nearby.
Yeah.
But this definitely felt more of a genuine friendship. And when Anne comes in and she's like, you know, your friendship is amazing, you know. How do you guys do it? You should be so proud. Yes. And they kind of look at each other sheepishly.
Yeah.
I just really enjoy that because it's true. It's like after you get a fight with your best friend, you're like, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Because we're still friends. Yes. It's not going to change. No, it was just the end of everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I thought that was great. It adds a lot to it.
It really does. And when you said that, it made me think, it does parallel a little bit with, because Marilla's story is definitely paralleling Anne's in this episode. Anne has Diana, who is very patient with Anne, supportive, and they have that back
That's true. I didn't think about that. That's true. Yeah, I love that when Anne comes in and she says that to them. Like, they're like in this heated disagreement, and they just stop, and they're like, you're right. Like, it just kind of dispels their argument, and they're like... Okay, she's right. We are kindred spirits. You know? So, it's very good. What do you think, Mandy, about Marilla and Rachel's relationship?
I love them. And I didn't like Rachel at first. She was the one, I mean, but I didn't like her in, like, the way I thought I wasn't supposed to like her, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way they wanted to not like her.
But, yeah. But the more I love her, the further that we get, and I relate to her. I kiss, because... Like, you don't really want to be that kind of person, but when you think about it with your best friend, like, you kind of are that kind of person.
Right, yeah.
Like, where have you been, or what are you doing, or whatever, like, watching. What
in the world are you a part of that group?
Why did you go there?
So, I love it.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool.
I was just going to add, I like what you said about, in this episode where Marilla and Anne are kind of living parallel lives, in their experiences, and you're saying how Diana and Rachel are kind of similar. It just made me think how, like, we're seeing Marilla and Anne, like, change a lot, and then they're sort of bringing people with them, like, that are more steady in character, like Rachel and Diana, but they are slowly changing slightly because of these two women who are more, like, going through a lot of change, and then they're the steady people, like, what are you doing? I can't, you know, kind of like society, but then they're slowly kind of developing as well.
I think that's why I like this Anne with an E series, because it is a lot more depth like that. You see more changes, and they're bringing their own flair to the story, and I like
their realistic take on way.
It. Very realistic. Yeah, I love it.
Yes. It's very endearing.
It is.
All right, guys, it's time to talk about the incident.
No. So I looked down on my notes right as she and I was like, oh.
I turned the page and that was like the first word.
So Prissy Andrews is played by Ella Jones Farlinger. According to her Twitter account, she is 15 years old. So I don't know if she was younger at the time of filming or what, but so she appears in the Canadian TV series called Lost and Found Music Studios, and it's a half-hour tween series following the lives of a group of musicians who are members of an after-school music program where they explore and discover their musical entities. So, apparently, Ella is musically gifted. So, and then we also meet Mr. Phillips. He's played by Stephen Tracy. And
what are your thoughts, Lauren, on Mr. Phillips?
I just have to say, he is shockingly good looking when he is not in his Mr. Phillips getup.
Yes.
I was very surprised to see his IMDb photo.
I wish we had that moment back.
Yes. The last time when I made all of you guys look it up, and you guys were like, whoa. Yeah.
I'll say, I didn't rewatch the episodes for this show, but I did re-look up IMDb photo and study that a couple minutes longer than I should
Way
have.
Way to prepare.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm glad.
I'm ready for this.
So, yeah, so I just, you know, props to the hair and makeup people.
Right.
Of making him. Yes, they made him look super creepy.
Making him look creepy.
And props to him for being a good actor, for playing up that, you know, mean teacher creepy person.
With bad hair. So good job.
So he's appeared in a few episodes of Rain and an episode of Quantico, and so that's him.
Is Rain a Canadian show?
That's a good question.
Because Megan followed. Right,
right. Follows, yeah.
In it. Oh, interesting.
She is.
And you said that guy's in it.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe I don't know for sure. Ironic producer, but or something. Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Interesting.
I have no idea how old he is. I'm assuming he's in his 20s. If he's older than that, he's looking pretty good for his age. So.
What's his real name?
Great.
Stephen Tracy with a PH and an E in the Tracy.
25.
Mandy found it. He is 25. So he is...
His birthday is March 4th, 1992.
Wow.
We found you.
He's younger than all of us.
He's
young,
yeah,
right?
He's younger than me, which is...
Right? Yes. It's a PS. Yes.
Nowadays.
For sure.
I shouldn't assume.
He's a child.
This is a side note, but, like, did you guys go through this phase in your 20s where, like, everyone around you started being, like, younger than you and you were used to all everyone being older than you?
Exactly.
It's true.
Younger
it's
than you and then, like, more talented. And you're like, what have I done with my life?
When I started being older than all the Olympians, I felt like a complete failure.
Yes.
Exactly.
Or you find a new actor, and you're like, that's an amazing actor. I love this film. Yeah. And you're like, that's great. How long have they been doing this? You're like,
right.
Wow, they were born in 2000.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or if I found out that somebody's not, like, they're still older than me, but they're not as older than me than I thought.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. Like, they've done, that happened to me with Miranda Lambert. Like, I just, I love her so much. And I just assumed she was way older than me because... Like, just, she's done so much, so I just assumed, but she's, like, 2 years older than me, and I'm like, what have I done with my life, you know? Like, yeah, for real.
And Mr. Phillips.
I love her.
I feel like we have tried to distract ourselves from this awkward topic.
I really get to talk about it. It's been an issue lately.
I know.
Who wants to go worse. First? I won't pick anyone to go first. Who wants to go first?
Lauren.
Okay.
Great.
I did the picking.
So, yes, so Leah told me about this, sort of. She didn't tell me exactly what was going to happen, but she told me about this before I watched it and said, well, this is controversial. Like,
just, this was my first introduction to this series. Yeah. People were all up in arms because they were talking about
and
this.
And so, like, the way you described it to me and the way, like, you described people's reactions, I thought, well, this must be really, like...
vulgar.
Graphic, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect. So we get to it, and I just started laughing because I was like, this is it. This is what everybody is so mad about. And, like, yes, it's awkward, but it's like, I don't know, I just had, like, this idea in my head of what it was going to be, and it totally was not anywhere near that. So, yeah, I found it a bit funny at first, so. And I appreciated the direction that the show goes with this. Mm-hmm. You know, it leads to Marilla confronting the town, and their prejudice against Anne, and just all of that. So I like the direction that they take it in, and also Mr. Phillips creeps me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's the point. So.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, I wrote down that he's horrible. He's a good actor. I mean, he's good at being horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems more believable in carrying on with his student, I think, than other versions I've seen of Anne of Green Gables.
Yes.
It's still creepy, because it's still a student, but it's slightly less creepy than it has been in the past, to me, anyway.
Yes, I agree.
And usually when this, like, when the scene starts, the couple times I've watched it, and it's, it's less shocking the more you watch it.
The first time you're like, what is happening?
I didn't get a warning,
so
I'm watching it and thinking, oh no, stop! And every time still, I'm like, no, Ian, stop, no.
Yeah, I think, and I don't know where we talked about this before, but the question was raised, like, what is the age group that this show is geared toward? Mm-hmm. Because that can change how people perceive that awkward pet mouse incident. Yeah, I was definitely, at first, very kind of concerned or confused as to why they had to put it in there. But then as the episode played out, and as I watched it again without the... I don't know.
The shock
and all the buildup. I think that it is kind of another way of making it more realistic, because she obviously would have been more exposed to more adult graphic things because she didn't have any adults looking out for her and protecting her innocence. So it makes sense that she would know all of that. And she doesn't have the training to understand that it's inappropriate to share with the other girls, partly because they're all excited to hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she thinks, yes, this is my in. Like, they think I'm cool now, so I'm going to tell them about this. And then all of a sudden, they realize that she knows a lot more than is appropriate. But they don't know how to handle that either because they're children. So, yeah.
Well, like you're saying, I mean, I kind of had the same thought of why is this necessary to the story? But if you think about it, it's a very logical conclusion to come to add to it, even though it's not something that we know is right in the books originally.
Right.
Because, I mean, you think about the time period and how realistic the houses are. It's a small, paper-thin house that she was living in. She was living in very poor circumstances with these other families.
With a ton of children.
With a ton of children. And she talked about how many were twins and babies, littler than, you know, younger than her. So, and with a drunken man. And that was, I believe, you know, part of the original story that he was a bad drunk man. So, logically, you know, that she was faced with circumstances that were not her age, that taught her things that she shouldn't have known, that were sad and deplorable that she had to go through. It makes sense. And, you know, it's, and I think bringing that to light, you know, is pointing out something that was very real that, true to a lot of kids' lives too today, you know, that they have to experience these things before they ever should.
And I get the disappointment with some of the people that I had seen commenting on Facebook because they were excited to share it with their kids and their kids were either too sensitive or too young to kind of be exposed to that. And so they're disappointed. But I don't know that there's that much more in any of the other episodes. So, I mean, they could just skip that episode. You know,
The scene of the episode. And it goes back to that question. I mean, who is the audience for this whole story? It feels like they're telling the story of Anne of Green Gables and they're not necessarily limiting to a child audience or a family-friendly only audience. Yeah. And that's, I don't think they're going out of their way to be graphic or uncomfortable, but they're being true to the story that they want to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts, Mandy, that you'd like to add?
I mean, you guys pretty much covered it. I don't know. I thought it was funny at first, and then it was sad.
So let's talk about how Matthew responds to this. What are your thoughts on Matthew,
Zoe?
I love Matthew.
Yes.
I love him so much. And I've heard people say they haven't been as pleased with him at first as the Megan Follows version. But I love him. I think right away, I have this thing for like older sad men who are kind of pathetic figures. Like, I mean, literally pathetic kind of creatures. And I'm always like, oh, no, not Matthew. Don't hurt him. So anytime, you know, he's out there and he's hurting for Anne, it just like breaks my heart and it's very tender. And so, I just love that he has picked up on the fact that he's a parent. Like, even faster than Marilla has, even though she's, you know, in the motions of becoming a parent more than he has, you know, with providing food, educate, you know, getting her an education and going to these mother circles. He's actually thinking and has the heart of a parent where he sees this happen and knows people are talking about this. And he, instead of feeling the embarrassment of people in town and how they're, you know, talking and gossiping now and thinking she's horrible, he looks at his child and say, she's been hurt. You know, this is my child who's been hurt. And I think this is horrible, you know, that what she's gone through and we need to help her.
Yes.
Matthew.
I don't have more to say than that. I just love him. I do. And I agree with everything that Zoe said. I love all the ways he responds to everything. Like, I feel like him and Marilla are a really good balance with how they respond to Anne in that way. Like you said, so.
I'm just trying to remember. Because we kind of did both these episodes at the same time. But I think it might be in the next episode, but he tells Anne she doesn't have to go back to school.
Oh, yeah.
I just love Matthew and how he takes care of Anne and looks out for her. And yeah, I'm the same way as Zoe. I've always
in the first series that I watched, I loved Matthew, and I just thought he was so sweet in all mm-hmm. his little ways he tries to reach out. And even in this episode, his reaction to Anne's situation and then also to Marilla's shame of, mm-hmm. you know, she gets kicked out of the mm-hmm. group and yeah. he's trying to be so kind to her and yeah. then she bites his head.
Yeah,
off.
Right.
Yeah. I just enjoy that character.
Yes. Yeah, I just love, like you guys have been saying, like just, you know, how Marilla's kind of concerned about the reputation right. and what are all these people going to think? And Matthew's just like, well,
poor
you know,
Anne.
Poor right. Anne, like what yeah. she knows about this stuff. What has she been through? You know, yeah. and he's more concerned about Anne than he doesn't care what the town thinks. He just wants to make sure mm-hmm. Anne is okay. And I just love how as soon as Matthew says that, Marilla, you can just see the expression in her face like, oh, yeah, like, mm-hmm. what yeah. has she gone through?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I forgot to add that I feel gypped every time when Matthew obviously knows something's going on, and he goes to Rachel to find out what's going on in the town about Anne. And then all you get is, like, shut the door as he goes yes, inside yeah. with Rachel in, and she's like, I know. Come in, hear about it, shut the door, and you cut, and then they have already talked about it. No. Yes. I would just wish I could have heard
yes,
how I she know. Explained that to shy, bashful poor Matthew.
Like, what Anne had said. I wonder, because I love all the behind-the-scenes stuff, and maybe someday we'll get, like, a behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. on this, which would be totally awesome.
Yes.
But I wonder if they shot that scene and then they just decided, oh, hey, yeah. like, for time, we need to cut it out. Or right. we already, the audience already right. knows what happened, so we don't need to tell them tell again. But I would, if that is a deleted scene, I would like to see
yes,
it.
Yes, for sure.
And then Marilla goes and talks to Mrs. Andrews. I just love this scene. Mm-hmm. Who wants to talk about their thoughts first?
I have pretty generic thoughts on the scene. I do appreciate how Marilla is tactful in her anger. I would not have been as tactful in that moment. And that she wants to apologize, and then
right.
Mrs. Andrews is Mrs. Andrews, who is a forward-thinking woman that forgets that Anne is a child. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Seeing some vindication for poor Anne.
Yes. Yes. What are your thoughts, Zoe?
Well, the more I've kind of gone over the scene in my mind, the more I've just kind of thought about Marilla's, kind of like you were saying, Leah, her reaction and the way she talked to Mrs. Andrews about the situation was very Christ-like. You know, mm-hmm. she knew that her child, her family, had offended. Yep. And instead of saying, well, you should just understand what right. we're coming from right. And, right. and just, you know, kind of being like, that's her problem. She you know, came and apologized mm-hmm. very humbly and tried to say, you know, that she was sorry. And as Mrs. Andrews kind of attacked her and wouldn't even let her inside, because that's rude. but as that happened, you know, she still kind of stayed. She was getting upset, but she stayed mostly calm in the sense that, you know, she didn't just kind of burn her bridges and, you know, huff away. You know, she kind of chose to educate instead in kind of a lovely way about how, you know, you don't know everything that my family has been through, and you should be thinking of this from a different perspective. And, you know, she even talked about how, you know, maybe if you think about this more, you know, when you're in church or something, you know, you yeah. can, mm-hmm. yeah. you'll change.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're in church. Yeah. But she said it nicer than I would have.
I do love that she says it kind of with like a jab almost, like, well, I hope that when you're in church on Sunday,
yes.
you know, like,
I would say she's perfect and she's crazy. Yes, yes. But I do think that, you know, she could have gone a really different direction with that.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And she chose to kind of take a high road, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with everything you guys just said. Go, Marilla.
Yes.
I love her.
Changing the town one person at a time.
That's right.
So we're introduced to Gilbert Blythe in this episode. Gilbert.
Sorry. I just love him.
Mandy.
Mandy, what are your thoughts on Gilbert?
I love Gilbert.
As I look up something that I forgot to write
in my notes. He is adorable.
He's absolutely precious.
I was just, the whole time I was waiting to see who it was. And I was like, right? Look at this kid, he's so cute.
Yes. I think it's his hair.
Yeah,
amazing.
His hair is amazing.
Yes, he has great hair.
You have fantastic hair.
Person that plays Gilbert.
Whoever you are.
Your hair.
Yes, whoever you are. Lauren, quickly.
Oh my goodness.
So, Gilbert Blythe is played by Lucas Jade Zuman. And he, like you guys said, is amazing. They picked the perfect boy for this. So what are your guys' thoughts on how Gilbert is portrayed? I know this is just our first episode seeing him, so we don't have to get too much into this, but what are your initial thoughts on how Gilbert is portrayed and just the whole slate smash scene compared to, you know, how it was portrayed in, you know, the Megan Follows version, and also if you've read the book, how it is in the book. Zoe, do you want to go first? Like, what are your thoughts on how Anne with an E does this relationship with Gilbert?
I really enjoyed this Gilbert. I really liked the Jonathan Crombie version, but I also really enjoyed Lucas's version of Gilbert Blythe. There was a part in one of the Anne Green Gables movies, the original series that we talk about the most, where Anne kind of goes on about how she kind of wants a man who could be wicked but wouldn't, and you know, Gilbert's kind of sweet and mellow for her. But I feel like this Gilbert has a little more, I don't know, flirtatiousness maybe. He's a little more fun and he's got more interest. I love that we get backstory about him. We know a little bit of his life, where he's coming from, and even kind of see how his attraction to Anne grows, you know, that she's very different and he thinks differently than the people in Avonlea. So I really liked him. I thought he did an amazing job.
What's your opinion on the slate smash scene? It's hard to say slate smash scene.
I gasp literally every time I watch it. And even when I think about it, I sort of freed up a little bit because she hits him so hard.
She does so hard.
And it's just, it looks so painful.
She took it like a champ, though.
Yeah.
He would.
That Gilbert.
That's right. He almost looked like he enjoyed it because he kind of smirks at her afterwards. He's like, well, you talk to me.
Yeah, I got a reaction out of you.
Probably like, I'm going to go home and cry later.
What are your thoughts, Leah?
I also love his portrayal in this. I think that we maybe talked about this last time, but he definitely is more of a flirt in this scene, and it seems like the whole carrots and pulling her pigtail was just trying to figure out how this girl is working, because he's tried everything. He was her knight in shining armor. He tried to reach out to her and give her an apple, and she just wouldn't have it, and so he thought, fine, I'll just...
I love that.
Don't talk to her. I
can't talk to her. All the girls, their faces are pressed to the window.
And he's just so confused. I love this dynamic because I think it's so what happens in school.
Yes.
Yes. The guy is totally clueless that this other girl has had dibs on him for 4 years. Now this cute new girl won't talk to him. Yeah, it is a real thing.
You guys listening, it's a real thing.
Yes. It is a real thing. Oh, don't even get me started.
That's why you can't date her friend now.
Yes. Exactly. But I also think it was interesting to see they give him that level of maturity that would come if you had a dying father, which we see later on. Mm-hmm. But not to get too personal, but my husband's parents both passed away when he was young, and he totally reminds me, like, this Gilbert personality reminds me of Joey. He's still a kid, he still does dumb things, but he kind of has that extra level of this, we don't need to be mean to this girl. This is stupid that you guys are all doing this, you know,
just and calls she's them new out. Or different.
Yeah, he can see things that other kids can't see because they're a little bit more sheltered. Yeah.
Mandy, do you have thoughts?
I love Gilbert.
Okay. All right. She loves Gilbert.
I feel like a band you can't ever make it. We can just like record these little blurbs.
Here's Maddie's thoughts. I love recorded at an earlier point in time.
I do.
I just want to say, like, having seen the, you know, the Megan Falls version, I don't know what to call it. Yeah. Because it's not like the original. Anyway, I go down roads that I don't need to go down. Anyway. And then having recently read the books and how their relationship, Gilbert and Anne's relationship, is very competitive. Like, he's, mm-hmm. like, the best student in mm-hmm. school, and she's the new girl, and then all of a sudden she's getting better at school, and, like, there's just that rivalry there. And, I mean, we can talk about this in future episodes. I hope if you're listening to this, listeners, this is kind of like a spoiler for future episodes. So if you want to, you know, skip ahead, go ahead. But they don't, like, in this, you know, season one, they don't really, I mean, they sort of do with that spelling bee.
Mm-hmm. And he makes a comment to her, too. Like, I need you to come back because you're my only.
And mm-hmm. and now that I'm watching it through again after, like, because I watched it through once and then I read the book. And I was like, man, I don't remember this, them doing this with the series. And I watched it through again. I notice it more, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, and she refuses to say his name. She'll start to say his name.
Right.
And then say, well, this boy or that boy.
Yeah.
And she does that in the book, too. So I'm glad that they left that. But she just, you know, like, she doesn't want him to get ahead of her and all right. this stuff. So I like that. But there's just more it's in the book and even in the Megan Falls version, there's just more of that, like, competitive, like, nature, and I'm just wondering if they're gonna do that, you right, know, if there's a season two, like, yeah. if they're going to do that, and how they're gonna do that, just with how the series ended, yeah. or the season ended. Anyway, those are just my thoughts. I just thought the, you know, the Gilbert we see in the Megan Falls version is more, like, picking on her, mm-hmm. and this Gilbert, I mean, you just love him. Like, there's yeah. nothing I don't like about him. Like, I yeah. just love him, you yep. know? And, like, with the other Gilbert, you just, part of you hates him, but yet you like yeah. him at the yeah. same time.
Oh, I love the other Gilbert, too.
Oh, yeah.
I just like how they portray him better.
Yes. So, anyway, those are just my thoughts. Any last thoughts before we end this episode? Mandy, last thoughts?
Sorry.
No.
Okay. She says she loves Gilbert.
I love everything.
Leah, any last thoughts? Anything that we didn't touch on that you really wanted to say?
I don't think so. I liked this episode. I felt like it moved things forward quite nicely.
Yes. Zoe, last thoughts?
Outside of the story itself, a couple things that when I was watching it through really stood out to me that moved the story forward. But again, outside of, like, you know, dialogue or the acting, was just how they used different things with the camera and nature shots and just the way they portrayed little things that they showed throughout the episode. The one I kept picking up was just the way the camera work did when Anne went into her, like, imagination. Mm-hmm. And we just got really close to her. You know, we felt like we were just kind of honed into her mind. And it was just us. And everything else faded away. And I just thought that was really great how we just really felt like we were going into Anne's imagination. And then just what they did with, like, at the beginning with her hair. And her hair is kind of this theme throughout mm-hmm, the whole, mm-hmm. I mean, the whole series, of course. You can't really have Anne of Green Gables without the braids and the yes. red hair. But just how, like, you kind of start with this opening shot of her braiding her hair, and then, you know, you kind of bring it up again, and, you know, the thing she's worried about most of school is her hair. She's not worried about school or people, but it's her hair that bothers her. And then really her hair is kind of the thing that sets her off, and where we close the episode, or she's not, you know, she refuses to go to school, mm-hmm. and it's the one, the straw on the camel's back for her mm-hmm. in the episode. So I thought that was really great how they kind of just tied that in right at the beginning with their camera work, showing close-ups of that, and then throughout the whole episode. And the last thing I was going to say was just the way they portray nature just continues to just reemphasize even, like, their beginning theme song mm-hmm. and the way, you know, it's yes. all just kind of this weird imaginative yep. world. And then we're always seeing nature and how it's mm-hmm. just so, like, a part of who Anne is, and we're having like misty fields when it's mysterious and, you know, forests, and then there's like wide swept, you know, beautiful golden fields when she's kind of more optimistic. And so I just thought it was great how, you know, you just can't take those two elements out of Anne of Green Gables for it to be the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I love your insight on all of that stuff. Stuff that I don't notice. Well. That you're just... It's very interesting. Well, that wraps up our discussion of episode 3. Let's give the people some contact info.
Our email address is teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at teamfriendshippodcast. We're on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teamfriendshippodcast.
And we're on Twitter at @3FriendsPodcast. So @3FriendsPodcast.
And our website is teamfriendshippodcast.com. Leah, where can the people find you on the social medias?
The thing I probably update the most would be Instagram. And you can find me. Is that @ on Instagram?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know how it works.
My name is Leah, L-E-A-H, Raniel, R-A-N-J-E-L. That is my middle name. And yes, the J sounds like a Y.
Raniel. Mandy, how can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Mandy Malay.
And me, Lauren, I am on Twitter at Gracie Firstborn. All right, guys, we will see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, if you have big ideas, you have to use big words to express them.
As Mandy looks up whatever she's looking up, maybe just to look at his photo one more time.
It's shocking every time.
It is.
Really. In a good way.
I just want to know how old he is. It doesn't say. I've done significant research.
Did you check his wiki fandom?
I looked at every photo they have online. None of them gave his age. Sorry. See, I told you.
It's all right. We all and like.
I'm like. It's me.
What was it? Oh, it's the coffee pot. Okay. Everybody, listen to the coffee pot. Okay. We'll start.
Wait till we get some coffee.
All right, go ahead.
My cup's ready.
Zoe, can people find you?
Probably not.
Zoe is a mystery. Yes.
Good luck, everybody. Yeah. That's your challenge.
I think we're just going to leave it at that.
All right.
Yeah, good luck. I'll be like, where's Waldo?